Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday night, August the 21st, 2026, 15 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio tonight by Matt Morgan as we head off to another weekend here. I refer to this now as the show Ohio celebrity, nationwide celebrity in my opinion, DJ The Barber has appeared on. Go ahead. Pop your can. You make enough noise during these shows, it doesn't matter. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. All right. What's coming up on your show when this is over?
Tonight on my show, we're going to be talking about some the flock cameras being vetoed, or the legislation, I guess, being vetoed. We're going to talk about, there is another flock story I wanted to talk about. Well, two more flock stories, actually, now that I think about it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. And then some, well, I think only one or two state stories, and then after that, it's just national politics.
So who was wrong? Barbara Walters or Rosie O'Donnell? We played the clip before we went to break. Who was wrong in an argument many, many years ago?
Well, you know, I would have to say that Rosie was probably in the wrong on that one. I mean, Barbara and Trump were friends. I mean, you couldn't expect Barbara just like, I mean, I don't know, there was no reason to get mad at a 78-year-old woman for not defending you as much as you think she should have.
And at that time, Rosie's probably in her 40s, 200 pounds. Barbara Walters is not 200 pounds. And it's her show.
Yeah, I mean, that's... First off, it's not looking good as far as keeping your job goes.
And she's giving you a hug. She's giving you what you want. Why would you attack her like a big old bear?
Rosie said the whole, you know, I think I was demanding something that she... she was not capable or not willing to give, and she said that maybe I had no right to ask for, and I think she did have no right for it.
Well, that's a good realization to have 3 years too late, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, I think she is. I think she had no right to ask for, and she certainly had no right to yell at Barbara the way she did.
In the dressing room like that.
After getting a hug.
I mean, Barbara is her not only her boss, but she's saying, you know, she's hugging her. That's a sign of affection. You know, that's how I feel about the autism person. Because she's saying
what
I'm not
a transition.
Well, because I'm not sweet enough to them. That was the response today. My response is I think they want some kind of connection that I don't have with them.
I mean, you gotta learn how to fake it sometimes, I guess, maybe.
Well, no, I don't want to fake it, but they get angry like that, too. They're like a big old bear. You know? I'm sorry. I'm just having some good time with you here. I'm not your... I'm not anything to you. Just... We don't even see each other that much. Just give me a break.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think people like it when people say that they think you have autism.
Right, but who am I? Talk to the people in your life. Make friends with them.
I mean, I think that people...
Yeah, I'm telling you what, people want some kind of connection out of you. Once you become... That's why I use the term acquaintance more than friend. Because once you start using terms like friends, people want things out of you that sometimes... Maybe you don't even think you're that close, that you're not willing to give.
Yeah.
And I've always thought this was one of those cases. They were angry at me one time because I didn't know their website where their writings were. Now think about that.
Do they still write?
I have no idea. I still don't know the website. I never learned it.
Fair enough.
I guess. There you go. Herein lies the problem.
Maybe they're just upset because they felt like, you know, they listen to your radio show all the time and
right. They think there's a connection.
And you weren't reading their articles all the time.
But,
or their blogs or whatever.
Whatever. God bless them. But people, this is why I think I have to tell people, you know, I love them when I really don't. Because they want that connection. And I know they do. But I just don't, it's not really there. But I've got to tell them that, or they get upset.
No. See, I have omitted, there was once upon a time a person who told me that they loved me, and I just didn't say anything.
Wait till you get older.
I just didn't say anything. And now, to be fair, you know, they're gone by the wayside, so, I mean.
No, I'm telling you, people want to hear it, but, well, there you go, that's what, and I've done so many things, and I don't know if people, one time, listen, I've had people tell me they thought of me like their brother, they thought of me like their son. I've never thought of anybody in those terms, never, but they feel that way. God bless them. I mean, I appreciate that. I get what they're saying. But I don't see them like that. And I think there's a little bit of an expectation. You know, like when we had the conversation about work, Mom. That's, you're demanding a connection that you really don't have with that person.
Well, I think it's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome. Is that the right term?
I remember recently.
You guys are both obligated to show up to this place every day, so you see each other very often. So, like, it's like an illusion of friendship. You guys just kind of talk when you're at work because,
yes, but,
because
but,
you see each other a lot
but
at work.
You have characterized them as a mother figure in your life. Maybe they don't see it that way. That seems like what happened with Rosie. She thought of Barbara, because of her age, as being a and the boss, I probably would imagine, being the mother, and the mother should protect her. Well, Barbara didn't think of her as a child.
I don't know. I mean, I mean, I've never gotten into anything to where there was a lot of, like, outrage against me, but, like, I don't know. I wouldn't even expect my real mom to, like, like, it's not really her job to protect me. I mean, she can do it, I guess, but, like,
I don't know. I just think it's very strange that people demand me. And I don't even think people realize they're demanding these connections out of you.
I get. I don't know.
I mean, how many times was I in this studio with somebody long after you had left? Now, what do you think that was all about?
I don't know. Because I would just be like, you know, I'm not sitting here any longer.
No, but we're coming to do a show, and that's the relationship we had, remember? I mean, and then it all came out one day when I did not return an email. I think that was demanding a...
Oh, that was an interesting night.
But is that not the same thing?
I don't know what that's probably the most interesting thing I've ever witnessed. I'm not even
Well, describe it. Tell the story for people who might not have been listening, and don't say the name.
Yeah.
But tell the story and discuss what your perspective on this was.
So, I don't even remember what the context of the email was, but there was some email, and the person had gotten upset.
They had sent me.
Yes. And the person had gotten upset because there was no response from Scott.
But I knew...
And it became a thing, like, in here one day on one of the tapings, I think. So we just ended up making it a topic of conversation. So they went over like the conversation a little bit, and then they were like, well, what do you think? And I was like, well, I mean, it was just like one of those things where they're like, the only thing I really could have thought you would say was okay.
That was it.
I mean, if all you really got to say is okay, then I mean, there's not really a point in responding.
And let's set the table. I saw this person twice a week, every week, guaranteed.
Yep.
It's not like there were long periods where I wasn't seeing them, But they were very angry that I did not respond to an email that had no response needed.
I do believe that night also, they didn't even know if they were going to be at the taping. Well, they said they didn't know if they wanted to come. We were like, well, if you don't want to come, that's your prerogative.
They got very angry.
Yeah, and when they showed up, they were like kicking the door down there. And we're like, jeez.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I forgot that part. They were angry that night.
Yeah, it was an interesting
day. But when
day.
We found out why, that was why. But you see, that couldn't have been why. See, that's the emotional connection they wanted. And for some reason, they felt they didn't get it. So it was problematic.
This person had also left something in your car.
Oh,
and at the same
6 months earlier.
At the same taping of this whole thing, she's like, and it's still in your car.
Yes. Sick, never, and I told her I had it. And she, I did this and I did that. And at the end, and you've kept that item for 6 months and never returned it. Okay, there you go. There's something, I think, about broadcasting in these situations where people expect more out of you than you are willing to give. So maybe people are just needy.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Well, how do you describe that?
I don't know what that was. See, I don't know what that was. That's like I said, that's probably the most interesting thing I've ever seen. Like, I've ever seen. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, I got mad one time when I was younger and punched a hole through a door. But, like, I mean, I don't know. That was, you know, I was a child.
I don't know. I seem to fall into those connections with people. But I am not an emotional person.
Well, I think maybe with the broadcasting, it just has to be, like, something. I mean, you do spend a lot of time together. I mean, like, I mean, how many hours is Friday? You got 10 to, no, 10, yeah, for me it's about 10. 8 to 1, and then...
Yeah, but that's fine.
So that's like, you know, and it's just essentially us talking, but...
Well, I think that's the difference.
So yeah, I think you like kind of trick yourself into being like, oh, but it's not really that. You're just kind of doing a show.
Right, it's nothing more than a show. I mean, it's true, but yeah. It's a show. But they would stay. And sometimes I would leave here at like 2
yeah.
in the morning.
Hours.
Hours. And I think it was that. I think it was somebody who would listen to them and throw a little bit of advice in there. So they demanded. The last time I was with that person was in the parking lot here. And they... literally, and I hate when people use that term, but literally said, should we hug when we were getting ready to leave the parking lot? And I said, no, I think that's okay. See, you want more than there really is here.
Oh, that's...
That's all there is.
It was an interesting time.
But so is autism. Autism's got that same problem. Might be part of the autism, for all I know. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Why? I don't demand that they listen to this show. Why would they demand that I know? Why is it so offensive that I don't know where their writing is?
Well, I guess they want you to read their writing.
Okay. Say that.
See, I don't know. It would always just make more sense to me if they wanted you to read their writing. Why don't they just share? Like, I mean, I'm sure they have some kind of share feature on that website.
Right.
Just share the article.
And they swear up and down. They have given me their writing in the past and said, "Will you read this?" or "Do you want to read this?" or something like that. I had never been to the website unless directed there by link, so I didn't even understand that part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they probably just wanted you to read the blogs, but I think that if they wanted you to read them, they should just send you the ones they want you to read. I mean, why would I expect you to go and just, I don't know.
I don't know.
Sounds like a lot of, I don't know, too much.
In any event, I think Rosie was wrong.
Yes.
She was demanding a connection out of Barbara Walters that Barbara Walters should not have to give.
And that she, probably had no, or I don't, she said, might have had no right to ask for or demand of her, but like, yeah, I mean, I think she definitely had no right to demand that of Barbara.
But you know what Rosie leaves out of that story? Barbara, when she came back on the air, because she came back before Rosie did, she did do a statement on the air about the whole situation, and, here's what the statement was. When Barbara first came back after that whole dust-up with Trump, here's what Barbara said. Now, Rosie's not there for this one, but this is Barbara's first day back after that whole kerfluffle.
Guys, as I said earlier, Rosie is on a long-planned vacation with Kelly and the kids, and not, I can promise you, with Donald Trump. Now, speaking of which, ABC has asked me to say this just to clarify things, and I will quote... Donald Trump has never filed for personal bankruptcy. Several of his casino companies have filed for business bankruptcies. They are out of bankruptcy now. That's the end of the quote. But while I am clearing things up, Donald Trump also said that I am not happy with my decision to bring Rosie O'Donnell to this table. Nothing could be further from the truth. I have never regretted, nor do I now, the hiring of Rosie O'Donnell. When Rosie left her own show 4 years ago at the height of its popularity because she wanted to spend more time with her children, I thought that she would probably not come back to daytime and she wouldn't want to work in an ensemble, but she did. And she has said that she did it for me. And she has brought a new vitality to the show and the ratings prove it. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to know how good Rosie has been for The View. Look at the New York Times who just said, and I'm quoting again, the best party, the kind that risks a police raid. And then Entertainment Weekly put us on one of their top show lists. USA Today called Rosie the year's best hire. I couldn't agree more. And next Monday, we will all welcome her back with open arms. Yes? Yes. Vacation, Rosie, and we are now going to move on. We will be right back with more Hot Topics.
Yeah, they welcomed. She welcomed her back in a week. She came in and about punched her in the dressing room. Now, that was fine.
Yeah, I think that was good.
And Rosie comes back in a week from vacation and about kills her in the dressing room.
I mean, loses her job.
You don't mess with Barbara Walters.
Well, why would... What was wrong with that statement?
I thought it was fine. She said she was the best hire and all kinds of wonderful stuff.
Yeah, I think that's good. I don't know why you would attack her.
And for years, Rosie kept slamming The View. Just every chance she got, she would slam The View. And
she's a vengeful kind of a person.
Yeah, Rosie's got a vengeful side to her. But Barbara did not like that. This was one day. She's talking about Rosie. Rosie had slammed The View on some other show and. This was Barbara's response.
On my mind a little bit today. You know, we're very proud of some of our alumna, Meredith Vieira, who, you know, has gone on and has this wonderful job, and Lisa Ling. And I mean, you know, we take delight in people who've gone on. But there are some people who have done this show and then for years feel they have to dump on it, maybe for their own publicity.
Yeah.
And that not only hurts me, but I resent it. So if the shoe fits, lady, get on, ladies, get on with your lives.
Yes.
We are not perfect. We are not always happy, but we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're kind of like, you know, a semi-dysfunctional family.
That's right.
But you know, there's no reason to go overboard about how, you know, we don't get along. We do get along pretty well, considering that we're working together for so many years.
To do what we do every day, it takes a certain amount of respect, I think, across the table. And we've had incredible years, maybe one more difficult than others in the past, but you know, just throwing it out there.
Just,
that's all I'm saying.
And so, we will now move on.
She was a little ticked about that.
Little Freudian slip there.
Yeah.
Get over it, lady. Or get on with your life, lady. Ladies.
Right. Yeah, I wonder if she was talking about anybody in particular. And she had run down all the people who had left except one. God. She was mad.
Oh.
Why do you need to do? I know Barbara had to fight with Rosie. But they did make up. She invited her back.
Did you?
Yeah. When Barbara was getting ready to retire, Rosie came back for the last show. And then she got a shot on The View again. When Barbara certainly didn't want to be there at that point. She had retired, so she was on with Whoopi. Then she got into a fight with Whoopi, and that was the end of that.
I like Whoopi, too.
Barbara and Whoopi, I think, got along okay.
I think Rosie's got better quips than Whoopi.
Well, Rosie, she, there's no doubt she put that show on the map. I mean, it was strong with Barbara Walters, but when Rosie came on, you had Rosie and Barbara Walters, and Rosie was a huge star. Again, apparently not as big as Jimmy Kimmel, if they could have only gotten him. But, no, I mean, The View really took off then, because she picked fights with Donald Trump and Kelly Ripa and the Iraq War, and they were always fighting on The View. And people like a train wreck. And Barbara Walters was a part of it. You had big names.
Was it a train wreck, or was it a debate?
Oh, depended on the day. Depended on the day.
I can even take an argument, but train wreck arguments are rough.
Well, her final day was a train wreck with Elizabeth, where they're arguing about the Iraq War, and they're not going to commercial, and it's just ugly.
They're like, commercial break.
Well, Joy, it's live. Joy at one point stands up and says, are there no commercials in this show? Let's go to commercial.
Gotta give him a break.
Well, they did stay on. Well, and Barbara was at home, and I guess she was calling saying, go to commercial. And they wouldn't go to commercial because apparently the producer who was there felt that Rosie would walk off the set if they went to commercial. I don't know. There's a whole thing there. But it made that show popular because you never knew what was going to happen at 11 o'clock in the morning.
11 is... Could you imagine being up for, like, you haven't even really started your day up, only up for a few hours at that point, and you're just watching this?
And I'll tell you what, they're gonna celebrate... it was such a revolutionary show. Now people do that type of show, but nobody ever did that.
Like an ensemble?
Yeah, like five women together live, talking about what's going on, and just live.
What else
Let it
is
rip.
There?
Used to be talks, you would have a host.
No. I mean, like, I don't know anything other than The View like that.
No, what's the only one? They've tried to copy it, but it doesn't work. Because you got to have the right thing. And I think Barbara Walters had the right thing. But I remember when that show first came on, when I was in radio, 11 o'clock, because it was live, I would watch it in the newsroom. Because that first 20 minutes where they talked about the news, it was what was going on. Because it was live. So you could take that and use it on your show.
That's good.
Yeah. Topics were good on that show. And Barbara Walters was a news person, so it was a little more newsy in those days.
Well, that's good. I like news. News is always good. Information's nice. I think, like, there should be more news and less... I don't know what you want to call it. Misinformation, maybe. There's a lot of misinformation.
It's very... Have you ever seen the Rosie Elizabeth fight? You have to watch it sometimes. It's about 10 minutes long, but it's ugly.
No.
Oh, all over... It's over the Iraq War, and you didn't defend me, and... Oh, it's just an ugly fight.
You know, I've watched debates on the Iraq War.
Ugh. Bad one.
People... There's debates on whether or not the Iraq War was not... whether or not they should have invaded Iraq, I think, was just, like, the proposition. They shouldn't have invaded Iraq.
I don't know. Do you believe they still liked each other? They both would always say, we had this problem, but I like them.
I think at some point they... I mean, nowhere near as much as they did at some point. But, I mean, I think that at some point they at least got some kind of thing back going. Because, I mean, Rosie, you know, in the one interview, she said that... like, the whole thing about maybe she was demanding something that Barbara was incapable or unwilling to give, and that maybe she had no right to demand it.
And Barbara said, this will sound funny, but I do like her. She is a talent. Yeah. There is this other side.
I mean, I think that they're both probably telling the truth there. I mean, I think if they weren't telling the truth, I mean, they probably would just do the whole, I love them, and then they move on.
Well, and she did come back for the final show.
And I certainly don't think that Rosie would have not necessarily thrown herself under the bus, but she definitely took a lot more blame, and at least later on with the whole thing.
You know what?
She realized she screwed up.
You know what's funny? There's something about that Barbara retires, and it's Whoopi and Rosie and two new people. And the show was not doing very well at that, because they'd fired everybody, and Barbara had left, and the whole thing. And Rosie's, and then Whoopi got sick, of all things. Whoopi had some kind of back injury. So they were trying to have guest moderators, and they asked Barbara to come back and do it. And, of course, nobody can stay retired. So Barbara came back and did it like 3 or 4 times.
They probably paid her a boatload of money.
Well, it's her show. I'm sure she was happy to do it. But it's funny because there's one episode, I don't think this exists on tape, but I remember watching this one morning, and that year they decided instead of playing like theme music, they would play a song when they would walk out on stage. And so Barbara's back as the moderator. And do you know what song... popular song they played? It was an Elton John song.
The only Elton John song I can think of off the top of my head is Rocket Man.
No. The Bitch Is Back.
Okay.
Yeah. And Barbara sits down. It's a live show. And she goes, was that? And she mentions the title. And she said, couldn't we come up with a little something different than that?
Well, I think that's a good setup right there.
Yeah. See, I think Rosie got to the audio guy.
Well, I think that's nice.
You know, Barbara at 80, that at that point, 85 or whatever she was, she wasn't paying attention to all those particulars till it played.
I think it's... No.
And she's walking out.
I think that's funny.
Okay. I don't think Barbara liked it.
Well, yeah, probably not, but...
Anyway, the kids are back in school. You know what? People get very sentimental when they drop their kids off at college. Do you know this?
Drop their kids off at college?
Yeah.
The kids don't drive to college?
No, you gotta take your kids. You gotta take your kids and take a lot of pictures. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't think...
And then you gotta say, I left part of my heart.
Hey, speaking of, my sister graduated this year.
Oh, very...
Yeah, big
the
ups.
One you don't like.
Big ups.
But it's the one you don't like.
I like my sister.
Okay. Whatever you say.
I only have one sister.
Yeah, whatever. Depends on which day of the week it is.
No, look, it's just, we just, now that we don't live together anymore.
You want to bring her on the show.
Why do I want her on the show?
Well, what's wrong with having her on the show? You have such a loving relationship.
What's wrong with having, I don't know, who you got.
Who do I got?
Yeah.
What do you mean, who do I got?
Who do you have a loving relationship with?
Nobody, that's the point. I don't have one. I have no loving relationships with people. None.
That's good.
There you go.
I'm not bringing my sister.
What would be wrong? I bet she'd like it.
Maybe.
Yeah, have her on.
My sister's political. She
there you go.
She talk politics.
What's wrong with that?
She supports Amy Acton.
Have her call in and tell us what she likes about Amy Acton.
No.
What's wrong with that?
What she likes about Amy Acton.
Yeah, we need to know. We had Barber Man on. We want to be fair today.
Well, my sister's not exactly DJ, you know?
Well, what's wrong with that? Amy Acton needs a surrogate.
She ought to get somebody who knows her better than my sister.
Well, what do you think your sister would say?
Well, nothing. Probably only good things, you know, as it goes. My sister, you know, I don't think she's going to do any beating of Amy Acton.
See, you won't have her on.
What about it?
She might like the exposure.
Maybe.
There you go.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I think she said she'd come on in the past.
There you are. Why haven't you had her on?
Oh, why would I?
Well, what's wrong? But you like her.
Yeah.
But you don't want her on.
No, I'd hang out with my sister.
Then have her on.
No.
Why?
Because it's because.
This makes no sense at all.
You don't have your family on the... I had my brother, I guess.
There you go. Yeah. See? Again, the plot thickens.
but he doesn't come on anymore.
But he has.
Yeah.
I think it's only fair that you have the sister on.
I've run for the one time. Invite her on my show. Talk politics.
Are you scared to have her on this show?
No, not necessarily.
Then what's the problem?
Because you're going to, like try to, like, stoke some argument or something. No,
why would I do such a thing?
For entertainment value?
I certainly would not.
I don't know.
Have you ever seen me incite an argument?
Well, every time...
I know where you're going to go with this, but it's wrong.
No, I mean, like, now, in your defense, she likes to throw out a lot of, like, jabs herself, okay?
Before I say anything.
But, like, you know that if you throw a jab back, she's going to take the bait and get genuinely upset.
Right, but the point is, my introduction is bait to her. Like, just saying her name. Well, look how you said my name. You know, it's that sort of thing.
I don't know. I mean...
So I don't incite that argument.
I don't know.
Well, I do. I've got tapes of that.
It's like the whole one time where it was like, you know... Yeah, you just kept going. You know, it was like, you have a few problems. And they were like, yeah, okay. And then you know, quite a few problems. And they were like, okay, yep. You were like, lots of problems.
But that was comedy in and of itself. See, because she kept agreeing, so you had to up the ante every time. Because I knew eventually, much like a pot on a stove, waiting for it to boil. You know, you just keep turning up the heat until you get to the boiling point. Well, what's it going to take?
You see, that's...
Because I knew that she was... She doesn't think she has any problems. So when I knew she was answering that just to be passive. So that's why I had to keep cranking it up. She doesn't believe that she has any problems. So when I said, you have some problems, and she, yeah, I know that's a lie right there. So immediately I think
that she knows she's got some problems.
No, she doesn't.
Yes.
She does not. If you ask her, she thinks she's perfect.
Well, maybe she just doesn't want to tell you what, I don't know, what she perceives as her, like, weaknesses.
They're all over. She didn't have to tell me. I can see them a mile away.
Okay.
I've known her a long time. I've seen them. She knows I've seen them.
I don't think she likes that you point out.
You know, she came in, what was it, like 2 days before Christmas last year, and we discussed our Christmases together. And there was always dysfunction, is what that's what that taught me. And it's the last time she was on. She came in here one morning, and we discussed Christmas's past.
Was it Christmas when you were given the castor oil?
Yes. But that, I mean, every year we had to do something for, like, a party together or anything. There was always dysfunction. Always dysfunction. And every time, no matter what Christmas story we told, there was dysfunction in it. There was always some kind of awful thing. And if you listen to that show, you will see the crux of that relationship.
Well, I don't know. They seem to think it's your fault.
Of course they do. But they're wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. So anyway, the point is here. Okay. Oh, trust me. They're wrong.
Well, I'm not, you know. I think I don't think it's ever... Well, nobody ever thinks it's their fault.
One time, they ordered pizzas, and they did not tell me they wanted me to go pick them up. And then I got there, and I said, why don't you go pick them up? I'll wait here. You go get the pizza. It's your deal. And I'll wait here. Oh, furious. Furious. That was a Christmas. And then there was another. Then they said, you never do anything for these parties. And I said, I'll bring the dessert. I'll bring the dessert. Got it? I got it. And I brought some cookies. Yeah, you didn't bring enough cookies.
I remember this.
That whole thing.
And then you had to break them up because.
That's fine. The kids were fine. And then there was a time where they were planning the Christmas party and they didn't get it done before Christmas. And we had it like in February. Christmas party. And then there was a time where the kids were supposed to make homemade cookies for Christmas. It was a project. And the supervisor was coming. And right before, the person went and made homemade cookies, this person, went and bought store-bought cookies, and put them on a plate like the kids had made them and told me in the back room, if the supervisor asks you where these cookies came from, the kids made them. And I said, well, I don't want to lie to the supervisor. They said, no, I don't think they're going to ask you. Lo and behold, there I am with the supervisor. Did you guys make these cookies? Oh, yeah, yeah. I had to lie for them.
You'll have that sometimes.
But every Christmas there was something like that. Always problem. Then the castor oil Christmas.
What if you like just lying to the supervisor?
Well, I felt terrible. But then they claim, oh, you didn't have to. You told me to lie to him. Why would I have lied to him off my own fruition?
Well, you should have told the truth. Got all of them in trouble.
Anyway, you have to drop your kids off at school, and then you say, oh, I left part of my heart at Ohio State, or I left my part of my heart at Beat, some nonsense like that. And then you got to make a music video now, and you got to make it very sentimental. So, I watch like three of these, because I find them a little funny. Because, like, you're spending a lot of time with your 18-year-old during the senior year. I mean, they've got their own life. But they all use the same song. So I think this song must be like the video. What do they make those videos with? They put them into a program. They don't sit there editing them. What do they put them into? Their phone?
TikTok?
Whatever.
I don't know what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, this is the video. This is the back to school, drop your kid off at college, leave your heart at college, whatever video. No, music. Okay, you ready for this? This is good. This is a country song.
I like Rascal Flatts.
Yep, this is it. So if you're making a video of dropping your kids off at college, it's what you got to use. Put it in the background. What this has to do with that, I have no idea.
I woke up this morning with this feeling inside me that I can't explain. Like a weight that I've carried, been carried away.
right. That's when your kid's dropping him off at, when you're dropping that kid off at college, that's what you have to do. Music video time.
I don't think that that has anything to do with school.
I don't even know what it has to do with. I don't know what that even means, but okay. Feels like today.
I don't know. It's just, it's like, I don't know, you just woke up feeling relief, I guess. I don't know.
So they want to get rid of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Every parent I've ever met just, like, oh, they cannot wait for kids to go back to school, so they ain't got to deal. It's like sending them off to a free babysitter for a while.
I remember when the Dixie Chicks did Wide Open Spaces, every graduation song. Oh, every graduation song was Wide Open Spaces that year.
Freedom.
Yeah. Well, I mean it fit. And then I don't even know.
Guess
what happened.
My graduation song was? 22.
What is that?
By Taylor Swift.
Oh, see, I don't even know that. But no, here's
terrible choice.
I don't. This is not graduation time. I wonder if this. God, you made me think of something. There was a singer named Vitamin C. I have no idea what happened to her.
Vitamin C.
Yeah, boy, I bet I could have her on the show now. But she's not doing much. But she wrote a graduation like pop song, and that was everybody. I think for the year 2000, class of 2000. I think she wrote that song, and it was everybody's graduation song. Yeah, see, Vitamin C graduation song. And Vitamin C was popular for like 10 minutes.
She got that orange hair.
Yeah, that's Vitamin C. Okay, hold on a second. We'll get the...
That's so cheesy.
I haven't thought about this for so long. I haven't heard this for so long. Here we are. Beginning of the school, you were playing a graduation song, but it was called something like that. It was the graduation. They even called it the graduation song. But by Vitamin C, we'll have to see what she... I think she's parking cars somewhere in, Newark now. But here, she was popular for a minute 26 years ago. Here we go. That's terrible, but that was what it was. Everybody loved that song. Well, when you write a song called Graduation, if it's got some...
Very 2000 sounding.
Yes, it was. Oh, here's the Saved by the Bell graduation song.
Now our final choice for a school song written by...
Apparently you like this show. This was the end of their show.
I watched it with my parents, yeah.
This was the end of their show.
Don't blame me if it stinks. Maestro?
It seems like only yesterday we started, but soon we'll put away our books and pens. We'll go on with our lives once we have parted, but how can we say farewell to our friends?
The double days, the parties and the dances,
cramming for a bitter
games, the Macs and the romances.
Soon Bayside will be just a memory.
I do not look back and think about any friends from high school.
I think about high school on occasion.
I don't. I don't even know where those people are.
I'm not friends with a lot of people.
God bless their heart.
I can think of
equally at
a
home
few.
Interviewing housewives or heads.
Now here's
state.
Something interesting.
Guiding discussions. Ooh, that came up.
Okay, now this is an interesting story. Before we wrap up this show tonight, Joan Rivers' husband committed suicide. She was doing a late night talk show, big time. You know, up against Johnny Carson, all that.
Isn't Joan Rivers the like?
She's a comedian.
Oh, I thought she was an actress.
She did that too, but her husband commits suicide. And she's like, wiped off the face of the earth because her show goes under, husband commits suicide, it's all bad. So, she got the only job she could get was hosting a daytime talk show. And the first year it was on, there was an Emmy Awards. And here's what happened at the 1990 Emmy Awards.
Issues of the day and handling guests of every political and social stripe. And in one case, dealing with a souffle that just wouldn't rise.
And the worthy nominees are Phil Donahue. Oprah Winfrey. Sally Jesse Raphael. Jeff Smith. And Joan Rivers.
And the winner is, I'm shaking, Joan Rivers. I always had a fantasy, you know, as a child that I'd win one of these, and I never thought I'd be the soul when the fantasy came true, but here it is. And I didn't think I was going to win. I'm not being cute. So I have no speech prepared. I have to thank everyone at Tribune. They taught me what it's like to work with honorable, decent people. And no, you don't know. Thank you to Shelley and to Peter Marino and to Don Hacker, to my staff who was incredible, and I don't mean this cute, I mean working at 5 in the morning happily, to our crew that's wonderful, to Dorothy Melvin, my manager, to Steve Ober, who started the show, to Larry, who has just brought it to what it is today, Larry Ferber, and especially, I know the red light's on, so I have to hurry, to my daughter Melissa, because the last 2 years have been very difficult. 2 years ago, I couldn't get a job in this business. I could not get a job. My income dropped to 1/16th of what it was before I was fired. And people said I wouldn't work again. And my husband, as you know, had a breakdown. It's so sad that he's not here, because it was my husband, Edgar Rosenberg, who always said, you can turn things around. And except for one terrible moment in a hotel room in Philadelphia when he forgot that, this is really him, because he was with me from the beginning, and I'm so sorry.
An interesting moment.
Got the one standing ovation person in the audience.
Well, you know what's interesting is that, see, I think everybody should stand up. If one person stands up, you gotta get up.
Yeah, I mean, if one person's standing up, I mean, you gotta follow suit, yeah.
But what's interesting is Donahue had her on his show after that, because she wrote a book, and he tells a story about being there that night, and he says, I was thinking to myself, please let me win, please let me win, please let me win, but if I don't win, let Joan win, because of everything she'd been through. So that was nice.
You know, it's funny because, you know, she got up there and said, you know, I didn't even think I was going to win. And I made a joke when she said that. And I was like, she probably got up there and said, you know, I didn't even think I was going to win. It should have been Donahue.
And it probably should have been. But she got the, you know, the sympathy vote.
Well, that's all right.
You know, it's so weird to watch that and know that I became friends with that guy. Came over to the house.
Almost. I was right there.
You were close. But he was ailing. Who knew?
That's unfortunate.
Who knew he was in that bad of shape? But there was a time.
Nice enough guy.
Nice man. Good interviews. You're coming up next. All kinds of flat camera baloney, and it'll be interesting. Stay tuned for that. I'll tell you what, it's no DJ the barber, but it'll be flat cameras.
Right.
Scott Spears, heading for the dugout.
Beat Salem Road, Salem Global Methodist Church. Join us at Rhema Academy as we anchor our youth in the hope of Christ.
Looking to transform your property? Trust the professionals at Jackal Landscape Services. Proudly serving Marion, Wyandotte, Crawford, Richland, Ashland, Morrow, and Delaware counties. Whether you need beautiful mulch installation, custom landscaping, professional handscapes, softscape design,